is up, everybody? Welcome this Sunday morning in July, week before summer camp starts. We are super excited, man. We are in the planning stages. We got shirts on order. We got face masks on order, man. We've got everything ready for summer camp. We are really excited. So if you're going to summer camp, be looking for an email out there with a whole lot more details with everything to be prepared for, but really excited that's happening. We just finished in senior high our last reunite. We had them for 4 weeks. It was crazy. It never rained. Not a single one was ever rained out. Praise God for that. This Sunday night, and continuing on, we're going to be having summer separate groups virtually. We're watching this series by Andy Stanley called You're Not the Boss of Me. It's been a great series. We've been doing trivia every week, which has been a lot of fun. People have been getting stuff delivered to them for food when they win. That's been a lot of fun. So tonight, this Sunday, we're going to have it. The following Sunday, the Sunday before summer camp, we will not have it. But then the Sunday after summer camp, we will have it. And so there'll be six all together. I think there's one more Sunday after summer camp, or two more Sundays after summer camp. And this coming Wednesday, the Rising Freshmen, man, it's been a crazy year. We weren't able to have Rising Up Sunday, but that's okay. We're doing a welcome for the Rising Freshmen this coming Wednesday night from 7 to 9 o'clock at RBC. So we're really excited to welcome freshmen in. We couldn't do the freshman camp out as usual, which is an awesome time, but we're going to have the Rising Up Sunday. And we're talking about what the fall is going to look like. Don't just think we want to just let you guys just drop off. We know that there's a lot of different things going on with you. We want to stay engaged with you. One thing that I've been thinking about a lot is just during this time, we need each other and we need spiritual truth. We really do. Not just because, I mean, yeah, because I'm a pastor, but also because I know in my own life, I need spiritual truth. I need people. So we're talking about what shepherd groups will look like. We got, I think, some exciting plans coming up, and we'll just have to see. But I don't say cliche. We know that God is in control. So, introducing Lee Benton, speaking today. If I came up here like this in February, you would think I was absolutely crazy. You'd be like, Lee, why are you wearing a face mask? And I'd be like, hey, look, the flu's out. Things are kind of crazy right now with a virus. You know, I just want to protect from it. But you didn't know anything about the coronavirus. You'd think I was crazy. You'd be like, Lee, something's not right. But now you see me with a mask on. You see all your friends with a mask on. You see people in the store. You don't think it's a big deal. You know, face masks have even become a fashion statement, which I'm going to go to in just a minute. But the reality is you have no problem seeing me in this face mask because you know, and people in the store, because you know that they are trying to distance themselves. They're trying to protect themselves from the coronavirus. And so we are more than okay to wear face masks than we ever would have before. So I'm going to take this thing off now, okay? Want to make a point there. You're going to see why I make this point in just a minute. But like I said, face masks have become fashion statements. Check this one out. Look at this guy. You know, not sure exactly how much it's protecting him from the coronavirus, but it is for sure a fashion statement. And then you've got this one. I mean, this guy's like half Darth Vader, half I don't know what, but that's its face mask. It's a fashion statement. And look, more than any other, the guy with the original Corona face mask is Bane. Bane knew what he was doing way before Corona hit. This guy was prepared, man. He was rocking the face mask before Corona ever hit. You know, it's interesting. We are taking drastic precautions, drastic measures to fight against, to protect ourselves, to distance ourselves from coronavirus. Think of some of the things that are happening. Quarantine, stay at home, like literally for like almost 3 months, it was basically everything was shut down. Sports stop, church stop, music, concerts stop, restaurants were closed, beaches were closed, gyms were closed, playgrounds were closed. Man, I mean, everything was closed. Then you got social distancing, which I've begun to say physical distancing because social distancing, it's kind of an oxymoron, but I don't actually know what oxymoron means. I think I use it in the right context there, but social distancing, signs everywhere. You know, Sunday morning, RBC's opening this Sunday morning, July 12th. We're going to only have like 160 people fitting into the sanctuary because we've got a social distance. You know, social distancing stopped at and school. There's no sports because of that. There's no weddings or weddings or funerals because of that. What about hand sanitizer? Man, hand sanitizer is everywhere. You know what I started doing? I just take that stuff, spray it in my mouth, and think, dude, if it goes inside me, it's killing the corona in me. And then cleaning. Everything is sanitized. There's more signs than you've ever seen saying, just so you know, this restaurant is sanitized frequently. And then you kind of wonder, what does frequently mean? Frequently can mean, if you did it more than you did before, it can mean twice a day instead of once a day. But I think the reality is we're cleaning a lot more. You know, we're wiping down all the handles. I even wiped down my entire car when this whole thing was going on just to be safe. Washing hands. If you don't wash them for 20 seconds, you're going to die, right? That's what we found out. Man, I'll be honest with you. I was like a 7-second guy. Now what I do is I wash them for, I count to 30 because I know that my second is faster than an actual second. So I figured if I go to 30, I'm good, right? But 20 seconds, it's everywhere. All of these things that we kind of thought about, but never really thought about, that now we're thinking about. And also the measures we're taking to get a vaccine. I heard just this week that the US government is investing $1 billion into one company to help them and then continuing to push through to find a vaccine. The United States government actually has a project called Warp Speed and how fast they want to find a vaccine. We are doing everything and anything to keep the coronavirus distant from us, to eradicate the disease, the virus, so that no one else dies. And so that we can get back to quote unquote normal life, we are distancing ourselves from this unseen virus to decrease and stop the consequences of it. Here's what I'd say like this. We want to keep distant from coronavirus so that it doesn't keep us distant from life, right? We know that we have to take these drastic precautions to distance ourselves from coronavirus so that it doesn't distance us from life. And I don't know, have you thought about this? I've thought about this. Have you thought about the reality that everything that I just named that we're doing and more stuff, that we're doing to stop the coronavirus and yet we can't even see it? Have you seen coronavirus? I mean, yeah, I know you can like look up online. You can kind of, you know, under a super microscope, you can see what it looks like. But in many ways, it's an unseen reality. It's an unseen enemy. You know, it's interesting. In life, we can see our enemies. When there's someone that maybe you struggle with at school, you can see them. You know, when we fight wars, you can see the enemy. You can see the country. You can see the people. Yet, we can't see the coronavirus, but man, we're taking drastic measures and ways to stop this. Why? Because we are willing to take the precautions. We are willing to take the measures to stop the spread, to flatten the curve, to stop the deaths, so that we don't have to live in fear of this disease. And so I would say this. I'm going to put this out there. Coronavirus and sin, the infection of sin in our lives, have a lot in common. Corona and sin cannot be seen, but their symptoms and their consequences can be. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, corona, I want to give you some examples of the reality of how corona and sin have similarities. Now, they both cannot be seen, but their consequences and the symptoms of them can be. So, we know the symptoms of coronavirus. You've heard about them. Fevers or chills, cough, shortness of breath or difficulty breathing, fatigue, muscle or body aches, headache, Loss of taste or smell, sore throat, congestion or runny nose, and two of the worst, nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea, right? If you've been like to the dentist, I went this week, man, they ask you all these questions. Have you had any symptoms of these things? Or have you had these symptoms? Because even though we can't see corona, it's inside the person that has it. And because it's inside them, it produces these symptoms and makes it clear there is something in you that is wrong. It is causing harm to you, and it is producing these symptoms. Now, there's symptoms of sin. We would say, you know, what is sin? How do we quantify sin? We can't really see it per se. And I would say, as I said before, it's within all of us. It's this desire that comes from within us to give in to temptation, to go our own way, to do the way that, go the opposite way of what God says. But Galatians 5:19-21, I think, really shows us the symptoms of sin. Now, you might say, no, this is sin. No, I would say the sin is within us, and these are the things that sin produces out of us. Galatians 5:19-21 says, now the works of the flesh are evident. So the works of sin are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are the symptoms of sin. They reveal the sin is already within us. We give into it, and these are the things that come out of us. Anger, rivalries, all these kinds of different things. The sin in us is producing these symptoms. Now, both corona and sin have not only symptoms, but they have consequences. They have these larger unintended consequences that happen. You know, we might think, well, when I sin, when I treat someone this way, when I look at this thing, when I think this way, it doesn't affect anybody else. And I would say that that's a complete lie. It does affect us. Here's some of the consequences of corona. We already know there's a sickness from it. Like, you just literally feel sick. There's death that produces. So there's physical pain. There's ultimately can be death. It's produced quarantine. Well, what's quarantine produced? Because we want to stop it. Isolation, depression, loss of purpose, struggle to have meaning. When everybody's like, well, what is life right now? You know, it's hard. It had unintended consequences for the economy, job loss, loss of money because we lost jobs, because companies have lost money. That has produced stress on families. Man, there's been a loss of relationship. People are lonely. It's not the same doing it virtual all the time. When you can't see our friends in the same room, we can't gather in the same way. There's a loss of relationship there. There's a stress and anxiety. Life is different. It's unknown. You know, some people are really, really fearful of the coronavirus. Like, you know, could I get it? Could I get sick? Could I die? Could my child get it and get sick and die? People are just stressful and anxious over just life, not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing what the future holds. There's a stress and anxiety as a consequence of coronavirus. There's just a loss. One of the consequences, there's a loss of celebrations. Like I said, weddings haven't been able to happen. Graduation parties, so many things have been cut off, or if they haven't been cut off, they've taken place in a much smaller scale. That's a consequence of coronavirus. And there's many more, but last one is there's a disunity amongst people. And, you know, how do we even handle coronavirus? What do we do? Do we wear masks? Do we not? Do we open the economy? Do we not? Right? There's this disunity. So there's so many consequences of coronavirus. Now, in the same way, there's consequences from sin. There's, again, these unintended consequences. When we don't distance ourselves from sin, when we allow sin to, when we obey it, when we obey our desires, there's both consequences from ourselves and to others. There's physical pain. There's a broken world that has disease, like coronavirus, is one of the effects, I believe, of sin in this world. Things are not like they were meant to be. There's cancer. There's death. There's physical pain. There's relational pain. There's broken families. There's divorce. There's children who die young. There's marriages that are broken. There's friendships that are hurt, right? The unintended consequence of sin is relational pain. We see right now real clearly one of the effects of sin is relational tension, right? When we don't understand people, when people try to be powerful over other people, there's racial tension there. That's a consequence of the sinful heart. There's war. What comes with war? Hurt, pain, death, destruction. Consequence of sin. An unintended consequence of sin. There's just disease out there. There's tons of diseases. An unintended consequence of sin. And lastly, there's this consequence of sin that is ultimate. And it says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The consequence, the payment of sin, what we deserve for sin is death. It is ultimately separation from God. That's the ultimate consequence of sin, because God is holy and perfect, and therefore he cannot allow sin into heaven. And so, just like corona is unseen, and we realize that sin, in one sense, is unseen, but we see the symptoms and we see the consequences of it because it comes from within us, just like corona goes in us and then produces these symptoms and these consequences. Well, guess what? There's an unseen enemy working against us. Yes, coronavirus is one of those, but more than that, there is an unseen enemy that is Satan, and there is sin. Here's what Ephesians 6:12 says. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against even corona. Like, yeah, we want to stop it, but that's not the ultimate enemy. But it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So here's my question. Why do we act like corona is real, but sin is no big deal? Why do we act like corona is real, but sin is no big deal? Why would we take so many precautions to not have corona spread, come to us, come to other people, face masks, social distancing, quarantine, stop everything? Why do we act like corona is real, but sin is no big deal? We just shrug our shoulders over it. I think we've got to wrestle with that question today. And so here's the main point of today's message. Keep distant from sin, or sin will keep you distant from God. This is a true statement that will always play out true in your life. You may or may not know it. You may or may not recognize it, but it is true. You know, I talked about all the consequences of sin before. And if we're going to take seriously sin, if we're going to really take it seriously, if we're going to acquire wisdom, not just knowledge, not just I know sin's bad, I know the symptoms, I know the consequences, but if we're going to take it seriously, we're going to have to change the way that we handle sin. Just like when coronavirus first started in America. I remember those first week, it was that in between of like, are we really going to do anything? Are we really going to shut anything down? How bad is this thing? Well, we realized, you know what? There's something not good going on here. And so then we took the drastic measures. We shut everything down. We're wearing the face mask. You know, like, we took these precautions. And so in the same way, we need to change the way that we're handling sin. God's word never, ever says, get as close as you can to sin without falling into it, without touching it. But instead, it says, distance yourself from it. Sin distancing. Stay far from it. Don't get close to it. Because either you keep distance from sin, or sin draws you in. Either you keep distant from sin, or sin draws you in. Kind of our main verse for today is going to be found in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 8. And in this chapter in Proverbs, It's a father talking to a son, and he's talking to him about this adulterous woman or this seductive woman who wants to draw the son in to commit adultery with her, to be unfaithful to his wife, to be unfaithful to God, to be sexually immoral. And the father is telling the son about the devastating consequences of giving in. You know, he says ultimately, man, it will sap your strength from you. It will take everything from you, because that's what sin does. It saps the life from you. It keeps you distant from God. And so here's what Proverbs 5:8 says: keep your way far from her and do not go near the door to her house. Distance yourself. See, either you keep distant from sin, or sin will keep you distant from God. When you decide to walk, this guy was willing to walk towards the adulterous woman's house, to go towards her door and say, I'm just going to get close. I just want to kind of see what it's like. The father knows that draw towards sin is strong. And if he doesn't keep himself distant and far from that house, if we don't keep ourselves distant and far from sin, it will draw us in, and it will ultimately keep us distant from God, distant from the things of God, and distant from the people of God. It's kind of like this. Have you guys, you ever been into like a bigger city or been down into DC? I remember one time we were down in Alexandria, down by the waterfront, and it was a guy doing magic tricks. And you know, it started with just a little crowd, then a bigger crowd to watch him, and then until it was this really big crowd. Why? Because he started doing these things, and somebody saw what was going on. Oh, this is kind of cool. And so then they saw everybody else gathering. Well, everybody else is gathering, so they're like, let me check this out. Let me see what this is, right? Because as more people gather, as we got close to it, we were closer to it. We said, let me see what this is. And that's a lot of times what sin does to us. When we get close to it, we kind of see what it is. Oh, we look a little more. Oh, it's not that bad. It's not a big deal to treat someone like this, to look at this thing, to be sucked into this, to cheat here, to lie here. It's not a big deal. We've allowed ourselves to get closer to it. Or for example, in the Lowe's, and I'm not trying to down this guy, okay, but in the Lowe's in Leesburg, where I live, really close to my house, there's a guy that's always trying to sell you, me, everybody, a new air conditioner. And he's seen me like 100 times in there. I've been in there like at least 100 times since I've lived there for almost 2 years. And he always says, sir, how's your air conditioning doing, right? And at this point, I'm like, dude, I just bought a house. My air conditioner's really new, so I'm all good. And I've said this to him so many times. What am I doing now? Well, I don't want to have to engage in that guy with conversation, because I don't need that air conditioner. So I'm trying to walk as far away. I'm trying to go down the other aisle. I'm trying to distance myself, because I don't want to get close to it, because I know that that's not what I need. Why would I get sucked in to buy an air conditioner that I don't need when I have one that is fine? And in the same way, that's what we need to be like with sin. We need to distance ourselves from it, saying, I know that's not what I need. Sure, would it be nice to have a nicer, bigger air conditioning? But I don't need that. And in the same way, sin will seem pleasurable in the moment. It'll seem like what we want. It'll feel good to react with emotion towards people. But we have to go, no, I want to keep myself distant from that. And so here's what the father in Proverbs 5, he says, look, here's the consequences. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, it is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. That two-edged sword on two edges is sharp. When it goes in you, it is piercing you on both sides. It is bitter. He's trying to help his son realize, man, it might seem good. It might seem like honey, that sweetness, but it's not like that. It ends up being bitter and cutting and destroying. And he says this in verses 9 through 11. He says basically, stay far from her, lest you give your honor to others and your year to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And at the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and your body are consumed. Saying, look, these are the consequences of sin. If you don't stay distant from sin, sin will keep you distant from God. And there will be these consequences of sin. Will you acquire the wisdom to say, I will take the precautions to stay distant from sin? Because the more we put ourselves around sin, the closer we get to sin, the more we're tempted to take part and be affected. I think to relate this back to coronavirus, a great example is you Most of you probably heard Myrtle Beach became a hotspot coronavirus. Why? Because a bunch of people got together and said, we're not going to take any of the precautions. And again, I'm speaking from this in not a medical perspective whatsoever, from a kind of a layperson's understanding of this. But they got together. People got together with no precautions, no distance, and the coronavirus spread. And that is exactly what sin is like. The closer we get to it, the closer we get around it, the more we stay within it, it affects us, it infects us, it grows in us. So what's drawing you to sin? Is it your phone? You need to find some legit distance from your phone. Is it your friends? Are your friends drawing you into sin? You need to keep some distance there. Is it your computer? How are you going to keep some distance from your computer if it's a temptation? Is it sexual sin? How are you going to keep distant? Is it temptation to alcohol or drugs? Is it the desire to be accepted, so you'll do anything to be accepted? Is it just your own pride that says, I'm better, I can do it, I'm good? So what is drawing you to sin? Because that what is drawing you to sin, if you're honest with yourself, I think you see that it is what is also keeping you distant from God, distant from the people of God. So I want to close here with an application for you. And you're going to think this is kind of weird, okay? And I'm totally cool with that. But I want to take the precautions that we're taking for coronavirus, and I want to relate them to the same spiritual precautions we would take to stay distant from sin so that we can remain closer to God. The first one, your face mask, okay? Face mask, got it right here. Nice paper face mask. It's pretty good. It's kind of new. It doesn't stink yet. Face mask is meant to protect myself, and it's meant to protect others. And so spiritually, if we want to keep distant from sin, I would say we need to put on the full armor of God for protection. Here's what Ephesians 6:10 says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. There's some spiritual armor we need to put on. And that means we have to live some things out. So here's the armor right here. I know it's a little bit harder to see. I'll read it and you can see it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, the whole thing, so that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm, to be distant, to stand firm against it. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, living rightly, taking in truth from God's word, learning how to decipher truth, not just everything that you hear on social media. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, having knowing the gospel, being willing to share it, letting that be the thing that guides you in life, that people need to know Jesus, that Jesus loves me so much he died for me. This is putting on the armor. This is keeping distant from sin, protecting yourself from sin. And in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. We've got to live by faith because Satan wants to attack us. He wants to bring us down. That shield of faith says, I trust God. I believe God. Even when I don't totally see it, I understand that he has a good plan for me and he loves me. And take the helmet of salvation. Man, that helmet of salvation protects our brain. It helps us to know that we, our eternal life is in heaven. It's not here. It's not all here. It's ultimately in heaven. That gives us hope. And finally, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That is our one active thing that we take God's truth and we actually fight with that. I've been doing that in my life more recently, taking the sword of the Spirit. I've been memorizing verses on 3x5 cards of things that I'm struggling with. And it's been amazing how much God has used those verses to come to mind when I fight. We take on the armor of God. So that's the face mask. Second thing, the quarantine, right? How could quarantine be keeping distant from sin? Well, I think quarantine, when you're forced to get away, makes you have time to reflect, to get away, to not be in all of the busyness of life and everything that is going on. Here's what Luke 5:16 says. But he would withdraw to the desolate place and pray. So Jesus, he said, man, I got to get away. I got to quarantine myself from kind of the world. I got to quarantine myself for a time from people so that I can pray, so that I can hear God's word. I can hear his truth. So you need to start making time each day. I'm really serious about this. Taking time each day to say, I want to get away from distractions. I want to set this time to hear from God, to talk to him, to read his word, to pray. Here's what John 11 says, actually. Jesus had been doing different miracles, had been spreading the truth, had been training his disciples. And then it says that, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who were scattered abroad. And then it says, from that day on, they made plans to put to death Jesus. Therefore, he no longer walked openly among the Jews, just like we couldn't walk openly out. We had to stay quarantined, stay at home order, but went from there to the region near the wilderness, to a town called Ephraim. And there he stayed with his disciples. So Jesus had this forced quarantine that he actually got away. He had to be secluded. And in that seclusion, he heard from God. So we stay distant from sin when we take time each day to say, God, I want to know you. Doesn't mean I need to always have some massive revelation every day that God's word got to massively speak to me. Just no means I'm setting aside time to hear from the Lord. You know, one of the big ones in a precaution against coronavirus is just the simplicity of washing your hands for 20 seconds. 20 seconds, people. You got to start counting that, okay? If you take one thing away from this message, wash your hands for 20 seconds. And one of the big things there that I did some research in the beginning of coronavirus to say, what's better, hand sanitizer or washing your hands? And they said hand sanitizer is really good, especially if you use enough and you rub it around. But washing your hands, there's a mechanical process of scrubbing and getting all the impurities out. And then the water washing over it that takes all the impurities away. So there's something about that. And this washing hands spiritually, as it helps us stay distant from sin, is that it purifies my heart. When I confess sin, when I allow God's word to work in me every day, it's like the washing of my soul. It's like the washing of my mind. Here's what 2 Corinthians 7:1 says. Beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Cleanse, wash, cleanse ourselves. Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. This confession, this cleansing that we need every day, this washing of our hands is being willing to say, man, I'm going to confess my sin to God every day. And we think, well, doesn't God already know my sin? Well, yeah, I mean, he knows it, but he wants us to confess it to him, to take away that distance that sin has brought, to come back to him when we confess it. And he says, man, I'm faithful. I'm just to forgive you of that. And then there's John 17:15-17, which says, I don't ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world, just as I'm not of this world. He's talking about Christians. And then he says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. This idea of sanctification is this cleansing, this washing, this making us pure and holy that God's word will do. His word is truth. It will sanctify us. So we've got our face mask, which is protecting ourselves with the armor of God. The quarantine, which is getting time away every day to reflect. We've got washing hands, which is purifying our hearts, confessing sin, allowing God's word to work in us. And then we've got hand sanitizer, right? Hand sanitizer to me is the quick and easy. I go to Panera every day, multiple times a day. I have an issue. I need some help to get my coffee. But they've got the hand sanitizer thing there. Every day I walk in, boop, brrr, right? It comes down. Psh, okay, I'm good. Quick one. If I had any on me, any Rona on me, I'm getting it off. I'm not spreading it anymore. And so I think hand sanitizer is quick and useful. And some of the things for us that are quick and useful for us, they're not the same as washing our hands, the spiritual washing of our hands. The hand sanitizer spiritually is, man, I listen to Christian music. I'm riding in the car. I'm chilling. I've got Christian music on. It's taking part of my brain. It's just that it's that cleansing, getting God's truth and word. It's encouraging and challenging conversations with my friends instead of just talking about, you know, stuff that's not bad, but every once in a while just saying, let's challenge. Hey, what'd you learn in the word? How's God working in your life? What's going on? It's quick, it's easy, but it helps us. It keeps us distant from sin. You know, maybe it's just as simple as, you know, I was watching this one show, it's not that bad, but I choose to watch this other show that really isn't bad. That is uplifting. It's not particularly Christian, but it's not this other show, right? Hand sanitizer spiritually. It's some things that are quick and useful, but they help keep our distance from sin. And then lastly, and I've already been kind of hitting on this one, but it's kind of the big one, is social distance, 6 feet or 2 meters. I don't know what is 2 meters equal. Social distance, keeping my distance from sin, is what we talked about. It's the main verse. Proverbs 5:8, keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. man, where do I need to distance myself from sin? What do I need to do? If I'm willing to take drastic measures to get away from coronavirus, what drastic measures am I willing to take to be far from sin? And I'll give you one for me. You know, sexual sin, pornography was a big issue for me and a temptation. And at one point, I didn't have a smartphone for a long time. And then it was a few years ago when I finally got one. And I had downloaded a social media app and had it for a while. And then I didn't mean to. I began to stumble upon something that was wrong, that was sinful. And I literally remember as I started to look at this thing, I said, no way. I threw my phone across the room. I distanced myself from it. And so I took some drastic measures and said, man, I'm going to put some restrictions on my phone. I'm going to take some things off of there so that I can't get it. Why? Is it because I think I've really got to have this thing? Or is it more worth it to me to be distant from sin so that I can stay close to God? Because sin will either keep me distant. Sin will keep me distant from God. I got two more things. We got this keep safe, right? Keep 6 feet apart, groups of 10 or less. Well, here's the interesting thing. It doesn't say, they haven't said don't meet in groups. Why? Because I think they know we are humans. We need each other. And so I would say this, man, we need other Christians around us to help keep us distant from sin. Because either we keep distant from sin or sin keeps us distant from God. And one thing we do to protect against that, to keep distant from sin, is we stay close with others. And so Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin will harden you. It will confuse you. It will deceive you. It will keep you distant from God. And so we need each other every day to challenge, to encourage each other. And then Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, just as one man sharpens another. We need each other. We need to be willing to talk to each other, know what's going on in each other's lives, challenge each other so that we keep distant from sin. And lastly, man, who like really knew what the CDC were or the World Health Organization before this? Did anybody really know? Come on. Like, you may have heard about them, but you really didn't have a clue what they were. But we care now. Why? Because we want to know about the coronavirus. The more the smart people learn about corona, the more we know how to fight it correctly. And God's word is like that. We need it to be an everyday part of our lives. And I've hit this so many times about God's word. But I heard a pastor that's in my life said to me, he probably said this to me 11 years ago, or 12 years ago, and it stuck with me. He said, either God's word will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from God's word. And I found that to be so true. When I'm consistent in God's word, doesn't mean I'm perfect, but man, it helps me stay distant from sin, as God's word is that spiritual nourishment I need. Here's what Psalm 119 says. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's what God's word is. It is to light our path, to show us which way to go. And so we look forward to a day when corona is no more. We look forward to a day too when sin is no more. But that day is ultimately in heaven. And you know what? Corona will probably go away at some point, or there'll be a vaccine for it. Maybe. But there'll be another disease. And same thing with sin. Sin's going to continue to try to show symptoms in our lives, consequences in our lives. And so in the meantime, we need to take the necessary precautions to not be infected and affected by sin. God desires us, to be those who remain distant from sin, but useful in the world for Him. Because either we keep distant from sin, or sin will keep you distant from God. Keep distant from sin. Our sin will keep you distant from God. Lord, we thank you for your truth, God. I thank you that we could even look at coronavirus and see, Lord, how it is so relatable to sin, and how if the precautions we're taking for coronavirus can be applied spiritually, and they need to be. And I'm praying for our group, Lord, that we would be willing to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great Sunday.